Welcome to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast for women of faith in business looking to take their careers or businesses to the next level without compromising their faith. If you're ready to begin taking action on your entrepreneurship goals, learn tips, tools, and strategies to execute consistently and manifest the life of your dreams, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira, business strategist, three-time author, using the fusion of faith and finances to lead female-led e-commerce brands to six and seven-figure revenue targets annually. Ready? Let's work. Tune into today's episode, Already in Progress. Welcome back to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. This is episode 53. How to Grow Your Team for Female Entrepreneurs. In today's episode, I will help guide you through the process of building a dynamic and productive team for your business and avoid many of the common mistakes female entrepreneurs make when hiring a team for their business. Let's get into it. Not sharing long-term vision, you must first define your path to growth. And so one of the mistakes that we make is not sharing the long-term vision. We talked about this briefly in past episodes. In order to lead a team, you must first clearly define where you're leading them to. As the business owner, you must provide clarity on your vision, processes, and expectations of each member and have a process to help them course correct and provide tools to help them do their job more efficiently and effectively. If you are still figuring that part out, don't hire a team member. Trust me. Until you've ironed out every detail as to why you are in business, who you serve with your business, and how you serve them. You can create products and services along the way, but the core mission and values have to be there. There also has to be times where you check in with your vision and mission statement, and every employee, whether they're a new hire or veteran, must be in alignment with this vision and mission and understand their role in getting the company there. I love Apple because they're probably one of my favorite business examples, and over the years, they've evolved many times, but their core mission and value have stayed pretty much the same. Their mission statement. Apple Inc.'s mission statement is to bring the best personal computing products and support to students, educators, designers, scientists, engineers, business persons, and consumers in over 140 countries around the world. Their vision statement. Apple Inc.'s vision statement is to make the best products on earth and to leave the world better than when we found it. You know I'm all a fan of Steve Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And basically what Apple did is they took on, this step, one of the steps in his book, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. And they incorporated that into their mission and vision statement. And no matter who reads this, whether it's the consumer, whether it's an employee, whether it's an executive of the company, they know exactly what the mission is. They know exactly what the vision is. They know exactly who their customer is, who they're helping, and they know exactly the types of products that they are going to, bring forth. So basically the best products on earth. And so that's why we see, you know, a lot where we see with Apple where they're testing or, you know, they're constantly like, look how many updates come up. You know, they're constantly, they're never sitting still. They're constantly in this space where, you know, they're improving upon a product that they already made and then bringing out the next product. And it's what has kept them, you know, as a leader in the tech space for so long. And I think that, you know, as long as they continue down that path, they will be innovators in that space. So as you know, I'm a fan of Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It was a leadership course that I took back when I was in the corporate space. And the actual program we read the book, and then we had to incorporate it into, you know, what style leader we were, and then, you know, how effective we could be in our leadership role using these different types of habits. And one of the things that stuck out in my mind was beginning with the end in mind. And I promise you, be sure to add this book to your list of reads if you haven't read it. Please, please, please read it. And be sure to connect with me on Instagram, connect with me via email, connect with me on whatever platform, and let me know about the book and how it was able to change your perspective and how it helps to help you to become a better leader, better communicator, etc. That course and that book was excellent. And I promise you that it will change the way you think about life and business forever. One of the key steps, as I mentioned before, in this book is to begin with the end in mind. So this is a quote from Stephen Covey, who is the author of the book. To begin with the end in mind means to start with a clear understanding of your destination. It means to know where you are going so that you better understand where you are now, so that the steps you take are always in the right direction. And again, that was by Stephen Covey. And I'm going to read that last little bit again. It means to know where you are going so that you better understand where you are right now, so that the steps you take are always in the right direction. And basically what that is saying is that you know where it is that you want to go. So you set, you know, a big, hairy, audacious goal, you know, 3, 5, 10 years from now. And everything that you do from the time, from this point right now, from right now, today, as you're listening to this, the actions that you take are leading you towards that big, hairy, audacious goal that may be 3, 5, 10 years from now. And even 1 year goals are considered long-term goals as well. And everything that you're doing should lead you to that result that you're looking for in a year's time, 3 years time, 5 years time, 10 years time. I'm sure you hear me say that this a lot. And I'm sure you're all eager to hear the 5 common mistakes and their solutions. I'll share them right after the break. We'll be right back. When you are just starting out in business, you will take on all the roles to get things done in your business. Initially, it may be hard to let these tasks go. If you want to scale your business, you will need to let go of the smaller tasks so you can stop working in your business and start working on your business. I know this sounds familiar. We just talked about this the last couple of weeks. So set progress checkpoints to check in with yourself and your business. Every 2 to 3 months, look at what areas you are doing well in and where you need support. Hire where you need support. And always think about what you can take off your plate to help you be more productive. The day you hire your first employee will be surreal. Let's make sure you and your employees get the best out of it. Choose your team members very carefully without being paralyzed by fear. Hiring a team can feel like you are starting your business all over again. It's very painstaking. You know, it can really feel like, you know, you're going through all of the steps and the motions again, bringing on this new team member. You can, you know, you may even have some flashbacks of, you know, just some of the things. And it can be a time that will test your patience, you know, test your, you know, your resilience, you know, because literally you're trying to get someone else to understand the vision of your business and to buy into it and, you know, to want to stay. And, you know, all of these, you know, things go into it. So the best advice that I can give you is to have patience with yourself and to have patience with the process. So be patient with the process and your new team members. Here are a few costs associated with hiring the wrong team member. And I bring this up because I just want you to be aware of, you know, just the expenses or, you know, just what it can cost your business. And it's not even necessarily just money. It's, you know, what it can cost your business if you hire the wrong person initially. So again, here are a few costs associated with hiring the wrong team member that goes beyond money. So one of the things is a lost worker productivity. So it's about 41% say lost worker productivity in a recent poll. And so, you know, what that means is that, you know, say if you have, you know, 4 or 5 people on the team and, you know, everyone has a responsibility. And, you know, if that one employee doesn't understand or they're not, you know, holding up their end of the bargain, it can, you know, reduce morale. It can make the other team members say, hey, well, why am I working so hard when so-and-so kind of gets away with, you know, not working as hard as I am? Also, lost time due to recruiting and training another worker. So, you know, I would say, you know, just in my experience, you know, working in the different, you know, organizations that I've worked for, and then even in my own organization and helping other entrepreneurs, helping my other clients, right? It takes on average about 2 months for an employee or a new employee to be fully trained and get acclimated to their role, you know, where they make, you know, fewer mistakes. So I'm not going to say they go completely down to zero, but where they make fewer mistakes, they're more confident in their role. That takes about 2 months or so for that to happen. You also, you know, pay out money. You know, you should know this number. You know, sometimes, you know, bringing on an employee, depending on how long the training is, it could cost you about $25,000 when you equate in the marketing to hire the employee. You equate in, you know, the time that you spent, you know, training. You equate in, you know, how much you paid this employee while they're in that 2 month, you know, training period where they're not fully up and running, you know, just yet. You know, just all of the expense that goes into that. Again, going back to, you know, will have a negative impact on employee morale. So it affects the other employees and also a negative impact on the client themselves. So it could be, you know, on a process. So especially if they are a worker that, you know, maybe on the operation side that, you know, affects, you know, how the client receives the product. It could be, you know, maybe they're working over the phone. It can affect, you know, how they speak to, you know, clients or potential clients. And that in turn could, you know, essentially cost you a client or cost you a customer. So it can cost you that too. And it could also cost you like your reputation. So, you know, where you hire a bad employee, they can bring your business reputation down. So that's some of the, you know, monetary and non-monetary costs of, you know, hiring a bad employee. So here are the five common mistakes female entrepreneurs make when building teams and their solutions. So number one is hiring people you know. So I know that this will probably be so controversial. One of the most common mistakes is hiring family or friends simply because they're your family or friends. In the short term, it may help you financially, and you may feel like it's the best decision. If you're like me and many business owners, we don't want to have to go through the pains of training a new team member, so a family or friend may seem like the easy way out. For many of us, a seemingly small task is just easier to do ourselves or it's easier to say to a family member or a friend versus a new employee and getting them to understand what it is that you need done. You don't necessarily want to hurt their feelings or you don't want to necessarily come off as, you know, too dominant, et cetera. There's so many things that, you know, may go through your mind. The only thing about that is so, you know, how many of you have said this to yourself? You know, I can get this task done in 15 minutes. It's just easier for me to do it than for me to go ask, you know, Susan or, you know, Billy, to do it for me or to pay someone to do it for me. I could do it myself. And I will tell you, I've done it myself only to question that thinking when a 15-minute task takes you 4 hours. And this particularly happens, especially when technology is involved, or if you are putting out a fire that just popped up, you know, it is better to delegate, you know, something that just pops up than to get involved in it yourself as the CEO, as the business owner, because now you're entrenched and you're involved in, you know, the process. And anything could happen. You could get a phone call in between that stops you. You could get another email that's another fire. So many things that can happen. And so you don't want to, you know, fall into this space where you are working as the employee and you're working in the business and you can't see the full picture. So just something to think about. Then, you know, some of the things that we don't want to have to, you know, do is to fire people. So the idea of having to fire someone can actually prevent us from hiring someone. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it is true. Many people don't hire or wait late to hire team members to where, you know, they're almost, you know, on the verge of like, you know, catastrophe before they hire someone because they don't want to have to fire someone. And so the best advice that I can give is to hire right the first time. And then that's not necessarily something that you have to worry about, right? But one thing that I do want to say to you, hiring and firing come with the job. They come with the territory, you know. There's this saying out there that goes like this: hire slow, fire fast. And this includes you too. You know, sometimes as the CEO, we have to ask ourselves, would I hire me today? And so we know we're the reason why the business is around. We're the reason why the business exists. But sometimes, some days we have to fire ourselves and we have to say, you know what? It's time for you to clock out because you're not being productive. You're not the best that you can be for the business today. And so the same goes for your employees as well. So hire slow, fire fast. And when you have a weak link, there are a couple of things that you can do before firing the person. And the first thing that you want to do is you want to assess, you know, why they're not successful. You know, why is the situation not working out? Why are they not able to be productive? Whatever this your scenario is, you know, diving deep into what is holding them back from being successful. And then, you know, also taking a look at, you know, is it the right fit? You know, did a person apply for XYZ job, but based on their skill set, based on their personality, experience, et cetera, they may be a better fit in another area. It's important for you as the leader to recognize that. And maybe instead of firing the employee, maybe you transition them over into a different role. So in a nutshell, in the long term, that family or friend hire may hold you back, especially if the family member or friend is not really aligned or a fit for your business. And what this could look like. So what this may look like, you may hire them, you know, and it may be something really informal. Hey, I need you to fold these T-shirts. I need you to help me pack these orders. And you come over on Friday and you pack these orders for me. And initially, you know, there's no formality. You know, you give them a couple of bucks and they do it for you. The reason why those type of scenarios don't work is because the person looks at it as, you know, on call basis, or looks at it as, you know, hey, I can make a couple extra dollars when I want to. They don't look at it as an actual job. They don't look at it as, hey, I need to show up on XYZ day. So until you create that formality, until you create that formal situation, you know, that family or friend is not going to take it seriously. Also, you know, just because they're your family member or friend, they may support you initially, but as time goes on, they may not be able to support you for many reasons. And so you have to keep that in the back of your mind that, you know, when a family member doesn't show up or a friend doesn't show up, it's not them, you know, it's they're saying to you, hey, you know, I wanted to help you. I want to see you be successful, but this is not something that I can commit the rest of my life to. And you just have to understand that and be okay with that. All right. So, again, you know, that family member or friend may not be aligned or, you know, a fit for your business. So be okay with that. One bad hire could cost your company 30% of your annual revenue. The negative effects go beyond just the bottom line, as we talked about before. Having to deal with the aftermath of a bad hiring decision can cost you valuable time and the trust of your customers. And I think, you know, I pointed out this one because this is huge, right? So time, you know, sometimes, you know, that striking while the iron is hot, or, you know, that, you know, opportunity, that once in a life opportunity may come up and, you know, you don't have the right team. You know, I saw a business who, for the BET Awards, they were asked to, you know, make products or make, you know, some of their products for the BET Awards, and they had to do it in crunch time. And had this business not had the right team, you know, they may not have gotten that job, you know, done. And had she not, you know, if she wasn't, you know, she didn't have a reliable team, she didn't, you know, have even the team in place, because sometimes as business owners, we say to ourselves, oh, I don't need the team. And then we're presented with an opportunity and we either have to decline the opportunity or we completely, you know, blunder the opportunity, or fumble the opportunity because we are ill prepared. We don't have the team to be able to help us to execute it. So, being ready, staying ready, is paramount in this type of case. And so in many cases, you will build the team long before you need them. So just keep that in mind. With that in mind, be incredibly selective when hiring. Make sure the person you bring into your organization is a natural fit for the job you are hiring them for. Some advice I've also been given my coaching clients is that they may hire someone for a job, again, like I said earlier, but their natural talent is fit to do something else in their organization. Be sure you are delegating tasks that fit the personality and strengths of the individual while also stretching them to grow. So you have to have all of those components in the way that you coach them, in the activities that you delegate or the tasks that you delegate to them. But don't give someone who likes to front face clients, here's a good example. Don't give someone who likes to front face clients a back end job or vice versa, right? So you don't want to give someone who likes to work, on the back end, who likes to work behind the scenes, you don't want to give them a front facing job that's taking them out of their natural element. Again, a natural fit. And so, make sure that you're putting people in roles that they can excel at. Those jobs don't speak to their strengths. You are setting them up to fail before they start. We'll be right back with number two. Number two, having unrealistic expectations. Not setting realistic expectations for you and your team is number two on the list. So ask yourself these questions and be sure to ask similar questions of team prospects and be ready to clarify any points and answer any questions they may have. Ask yourself, what do you want your day to look like as a CEO? Show the team what the CEO's day looks like via action. So it could be being the face of the brand, doing IGTVs, marketing, doing lead generation, branding and keeping the company image, setting the tone of and for the brand, right? Then the next question is to ask, what do you want your team's day to look like? And then each team member will tell you in turn in their role, what do they see their day looking like? That's a great way to help your team to be bought into the process. Anytime a team member is responsible for creating their own plan, excel, they're more likely to be bought into the process because they themselves have written the plan. Help make each team member an expert in their area and help them to understand their role and their value in your business. Number three, not knowing each employee's motivation for working at your company. Great way to kind of for your company to lose its way. If you're in the initial growth phase of your business, business perks may not be all there just yet. So have a clear plan as to what you can offer initially and a timeline for when you can offer more. Many people are willing to grow with a company if they have the right motivation and incentive. Here are a few things that new employees consider in lieu of a higher paying salary. And I found this so interesting, but I also know this to be true from experience, is that a person will take a pay cut or will take, a reduced salary if they're offered something else that is of value to them, right? So number one, I think everyone can speak to this. Even some of us entrepreneurs wish that somehow, we could keep the benefits from our 9-to-5, but, be full-time employees, right? I mean, be full-time entrepreneurs. I really think we wish that we could have this. But number one is a health, dental, and vision insurance plan. And so this right here is number one. The next is flexible hours, paid vacation time, work from home options, and tuition assistance. Those were on the top of the list. Here are others that were lower on the list, which included childcare services. And I think that if a new poll were to be put out there, childcare services might be right up there at number one. A lot of people I know in 2020 left their jobs because they could not find childcare services. Everything was shut down. So imagine, you know, having, you know, your job offer the childcare services to you. Maybe it's on the premises, you know, or something like that, or something that's in conjunction with your job, and you know, hey, my childcare services are taken care of. I think that might be a number one thing, or at least number two, right behind health, dental, and vision insurance plan. So free membership to places they frequent, the gym, the movies, etc. I know my sister, she gets like free theater tickets, free movie tickets. And she gets like tickets to like a bunch of places, discounts to a bunch of places. And I know that for her, that's a real big perk because she's a big traveler. Of course, she goes to the gym. You know, she loves the theater and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, being able to get those tickets sometimes for free or discounted is, you know, a benefit to her. Some people, company retreats. I know for me, company retreats were huge for me. I looked forward to it. It was one of the ways that they incentivized us to, you know, hit our goals as a team. And I love attending those retreats. I got to, you know, chat with my peers. And of course, it was time, you know, away from the office where, you know, I could, you know, unwind. And, you know, it paid for by, you know, my job. And I think that for me, that was a perk that I genuinely enjoyed because I like to travel myself. And it was great to be able to go to these different places and, you know, be able to go with work and, you know, to be able to share with the team. I think one of the things that for me, you know, when I was working my 9-to-5, my employees, my team, you know, my peers, they were very much a part of my family. And it was nice to be able to be away from work and create relationships with them that to this day, you know, I'm friends with many of the people that I've worked with, you know, to this day. So company retreats were huge for me personally. And free meals. This is huge for some people. Some people like to eat and, you know, offering free meals, you know, at work, you know, is a huge perk for them. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think that free meals, I think that that's something that work should offer you. You know, you could be at your place of work, you know, 8 hours is, you know, like the minimum, but you know, some people work 12, 16 hour days, you know, having your job, you know, give you meals. I think that would be a great perk that, you know, people would enjoy. And of course it was lower on the list, but it still made the list. Number four, perfection over vulnerability, stay connected to the team. So, this one is huge. And this is an area where, you know, many people in leadership, not just as entrepreneurs, but in leadership roles that they miss. And I ran into this myself in my career as well, where, you know, it was perfection, you know, over vulnerability versus, you know, vulnerability over, you know, perfection. And so I learned this in one of my roles, as I said, in senior leadership back when I was working my 9-to-5. I had a great team that consisted of some of the best sales professionals in the region. Although they performed well, I knew they could perform better, and so did the company. And, you know, that was what I was hired for. I was hired to lead this team because I was hired to lead them to perform at an even higher level. I thought that by showing them my path and what I was able to do, to fast track my career and my earnings, that would help them. I was dealing with, type A personalities, you know, very D, you know, high D's, you know, personalities. And, you know, many of them were motivated by money. And so, you know, we had that in common. You know, I was motivated by money. I was motivated by, you know, a good day's work and also, you know, being able to work together as a team. Those were the components that, you know, made me, you know, love what I do and love my job. And I was working with a lot of individuals that love that too. And so I thought that, you know, showcasing, you know, how I was able to move up and the opportunities that were available to them, that would incentivize them. Boy, was I wrong. I was met with resistance day after day after day. And months went by, months and months and months went by. And it just felt like, you know, it was like pulling teeth. And, you know, I just couldn't understand why I would pull people aside and I would try to talk to them and you know, try to have these conversations.
And, you know, it was just like, I wasn't, you know, resonating with them. I was like, I'm just trying to help them be better. You know, I was beating myself up. I would go home every day and I would just feel like, man, you know, how can I help them? You know, I genuinely want to help them. I genuinely want to see them do well. What am I doing wrong? And so I wanted to see them go to the next level in their careers, make more money, et cetera. And, you know, in the role they were in, they received a salary and amazing commission bonuses and prizes. It was like a win-win-win-win-win, you know, situation. But it wasn't until I became vulnerable with the team one day at a meeting and told them I struggled too. Previously, I had been offered a promotion. I turned it down because I wanted to help my team succeed. And when I told them, you know, that story, and I told them that, you know, I wasn't moving on until, you know, they had, you know, reached the level that, you know, I knew that they could reach. And, you know, basically, you know, when I told them that story, that was when I got their buy-in. So basically it was one that I was vulnerable and I said, hey, I failed at this job too. You know, I failed at, you know, different things and, you know, I didn't always get it right. You know, I had more days where I got it wrong than days that I got it right. It humanized me. It helped to make me, you know, vulnerable. You know, it showed that I was vulnerable, but, you know, it also showed them that it was possible for them too. And when I asked for feedback from the team and I met with each one of them individually and I said to them, you know, hey, what was so, you know, what made you, you know, kind of tap into, you know, my story? And they said that, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it almost seemed like I was too perfect and I was like this robot. And it was like, you wake up and, you know, it's 6 a.m. and you're ready to go. And, you know, you get to work, you're always on time. And, you know, all these things is like, you know, they just felt like it wasn't attainable. And, you know, I just didn't know where I was coming from. And, you know, it was when I was vulnerable, it helped them to see that I came from, you know, the same places that they came from. And I had, you know, some of the same, you know, ambitions and goals that they did. So each team that I led after that was different as night and day, but I met them where they were and I put them in a position to win, whatever that looked like for them. And so it helped me to treat each person as an individual. And we're going to talk about that, you know, in a second. And, you know, be sure to provide growth related feedback along the way. Ask them what they think they do well and what their areas of opportunity are. This will create an open dialogue and they will create their own success plan. Keep the line of communication open. I cannot say this enough. If it is currently closed in your organization, a one-on-one can help reopen it before it's too late. You don't want to lose the employee. And a lot of times, you know, so one thing that I will tell you, people don't leave, you know, their jobs. They leave the leader. They leave their employer. So they don't just leave the job itself. You know, they leave because of the relationship with their employer. So just something to think about, you know, as you're leading your team. It's not that you want to be likable to the point where, you know, they don't do anything, but you want to, you know, have that mutual respect. You want to have, you know, you want them to respect, you know, you, and then you in turn respect them, and that, you know, and they know that you have their back. So part of keeping the line of communication open is I used to have what are called team huddles for my team every morning. I would shout out something a team member did that was amazing the day before and then give them the goals for the day. And then I would ask them what their personal goals were, whether it was a sales goal or a project we were working on, just something that they were looking forward to or something that they had for that particular day that it was like, you know what? Yeah, this is what I want to do. It was important. Everyone knew how important each member was to the success of the team and knew their role in it. So they needed to know, hey, I may be doing XYZ job, especially many of the operations people, marketing, you know, people that are behind the scenes that you don't actually see them. You see their work, you see the outcome of their work, but you don't necessarily see them hard at work. It's important to highlight them. It's important to give them a shout out. It's easy to recognize high performers or to recognize the front facing employees, but those that are in the support, sometimes you have to acknowledge those employees because it's easy for them to become part of the background. And one of the things that came came out of, you know, like one-on-ones and why, you know, employees feel more motivated after a one-on-one. You know, they leave those conversations feeling like, you know, they know that they're helping the company. They feel closer. See what I mean? When I'm talking about this next one is about they don't leave their jobs. They leave their employer or their manager or leader, right? And it says, one of the things about a one-on-one is because I feel closer to my manager, team, and or organization. So it's important to create that relationship. And also one other thing is they help me be successful in my role. So part of those one-on-one conversations is asking, hey, how can I help you to be successful? What does success look like for you? And how does the job or the role that you're in help you to achieve that? You know, say someone who wants to be, you know, a marketing professional, you know, them being in their particular role, how does, you know, making graphics, how does that help them to get into a marketing role or, you know, whatever the case may be for your particular scenario, you know, their role should lead them towards their goal. All right. Number five, not knowing when or how much to delegate. For us as women, this is huge because we somehow put these Wonder Woman capes on and we want to leave these Wonder Woman capes on. And, you know, when someone, you know, doesn't meet our expectations or they fire themselves or whatever the case may be, they leave or they leave us, you know, in the dust or whatever, you know what I mean? Leave us high and dry is what I was looking for. When they leave us high and dry, the first thing that we say is, well, I don't need them anyway and I can just do it myself. So no, we're not going to take that, you know, stance. So we're going to delegate. So when you don't delegate enough, you don't have enough time to focus on the bigger picture. And this is as a CEO. So CEO does not mean that you're in every part of your business. It means that you create the vision, you create the mission, and, you know, you communicate the overall, you know, vision. It does not mean that you have to be in every nook and cranny of your business and know every single thing that is happening, you know, on a day-to-day basis, you know, within your business. You are more the overarching and, you know, I'll talk a little bit later about exactly what it is that you should be engaged in as the CEO. So you want to make sure you have enough time to focus on the bigger picture and look forward into the future and analyze how the activities you're engaged in now will help your business in the long run. If you delegate, you know, on the other hand, too much, then it may feel like you're dumping on your team. And I've seen this happen, you know, where you're like so elated and glad to get a team member that you dump everything on that new team member. And we talked about this a couple of episodes back. Here's a great way to learn if you should delegate a task and be sure to always connect the task to the overall goal. The more informed your employees are, you know, much like your customers, the more engaged that they will be in the overall process. So should I delegate this? So find out when to delegate a task and when not to. So the first question could be, is the task recurring? So is this a task that, you know, is going to continue, you know, on and on and on? So if the answer to that is yes, you know, can you set it to be automated, right? And so this could be like an email. So it could be, you know, say abandoned cart. So I deal a lot with e-commerce business as my clients. And so, you know, one of the things that we have is that abandoned cart recovery. We may create a series, you know, 7 emails that a customer may receive to help them with that abandoned cart. You don't want to have someone, a virtual assistant, that every single time that someone abandons the cart, that they now have to, you know, manually send out these 7 emails. You want this to be an automatic thing that happens in the background, and it's not something that you have to engage in the front of your mind. Believe it or not, you know, creating these type of series, of course, saves time, but it also may save the customer. It also may help you to, you know, keep generating income from customers and less abandoned carts. I know for every business that we have implemented the 7 series, you know, automated emailing, we reduce the abandoned carts by a lot. Okay. Over, you know, 30%, depending on the business, and some even more. So no, right? So say if the answer to this is the task recurring, no, right? So, you know, is there time to delegate the task? So is it something that's an emergency? Is it something that, you know, is one of those things that, you know, it needs to be, it's time sensitive and it needs to be answered right now. So, if the answer to that, you know, so is there time to delegate the task? If the answer is no, guess what? Then it's something that you do. But if there's time to delegate the task, maybe you have a few days before you need a reply or whatever the case may be, does anyone else on your team have the skills to do it? And so if the answer is yes, delegate it, right? If the answer is no, notate what it is that, you know, this flag is or this task is, and then train someone else to do it. So the next time, you know, this particular, you know, scenario pops up, guess what? You don't have to do the task yourself. So one of the ways to be able to delegate effectively is to understand what you want and why. So we talked about this a little bit earlier on in the episode, is that you are the one who determines what it is that you want. And you need to understand it first, and then you need to be able to communicate that to your incoming team or your current team. And get in alignment. Pay attention to the what's in it for me from your team. So the WIFM. I love this, love this, love this. I use this so much in my corporate career. Every single person, whether they are like the selfless team member and they're always looking out for someone else, there's a WIFM. There's a what's in it for me for that particular person. That particular person may just want the accolades of always being the helper. But, you know, if there's nothing to help, or if there's no one to help, then, you know, kind of their personality doesn't fit into your organization. So make sure that you're in alignment. You know, that person is the honker. I remember I had a boss, and, you know, my boss very much said that I was a honker, that I enjoyed, you know, rooting on other team members and, you know, helping them out. And so, you know, that was one of the things that motivated me. And so that's the what's in it, you know, for me, you know, for your team, or, you know, for me, and then, you know, of course, for the team. And so make sure that you're in alignment with whatever the WIFM is for your team member. And then overall, your team as a whole. So you want to have, you know, the overall team's, you know, a goal and what they want. And then you want to have, you know, the individual, right? And so you want to make sure that you get in alignment with that. And then spend time to understand what you want measured. So perfect example could be, okay, you know, customer service emails need to be answered within 48 to 72 hours. That's an expectation that you have of your team members. So when you have one that goes 4 or 5 days without being answered, that's a measurement that you can say, hey, wait a minute, you know, we have 5 emails that went past that, you know, 48 to 72 hour deadline. You know, how can we streamline this process? How can we make this, you know, better? And then, you know, it could be, you know, okay, you know, I need, you know, our graphics completed every single Monday or every single Thursday, whatever the day is, right? For my organization, it's every single Thursday, and then they're, you know, completed and turned in and everything by Monday. And so, you know, what's measured? What's measured is the graphics need to be in by Thursday for approval, and then, you know, after, you know, whatever changes need to be made, the deadline is Monday. And so that's something that's measured. Define how to measure the progress. And so, you know, when do we check in? You know, for my team, we check in every single Thursday and Saturday. So, you know, for my clients, our check-in days are Thursday. And for my team, it's every single Saturday. And okay, this is what we did for the week. These are the new instructions. You know, after meeting with the clients, these are the things that we need to do for the clients. These are the deliverables for our clients. And so this is what we need to do. And then, you know, every, you know, quarter, then, you know, the team receives their assessment. And of course, along the way, they're receiving many assessments, but their formal assessment is every 3 months. Communicate clearly and often. Over communicate. And so daily touch points are important, important, important. Daily touch points, daily touch points. Know your job and do it, not theirs. And so that's another thing. The quickest way to micromanage and undermine your team and undermine, you know, them growing and thinking on their own is to micromanage and to do their job or to, you know, remind them of what their job is. Now, again, we're going back to this process, you know, define how to measure the process. So if we go back to that part, that's different from micromanaging someone. So measuring progress is, you know, not getting emails saying, hey, you know, I didn't get a reply to my email as a customer, or, you know, the graphics were not turned in, whatever your scenario is, or you didn't meet your sales goal or whatever the case may be, whatever your scenario is, knowing that. So the way that, you know, the how is what you want to leave up to the employee. How they get their job done is up to them, right? Your goal is the end result. So, you know, you may have a system in place that they have to follow, but, you know, how they use the system and the process that you put in place, they can make it their own. They don't necessarily have to follow the way you would exactly do it in order to get to the goal. And then, of course, coach people as necessary. So that's the how to delegate process that I think is extremely effective. So those were just a few of the mistakes that many female entrepreneurs make and their solutions. So here are some others that came up in my business and other new business owners that I coach. So not knowing the operational side of their business, who is responsible for that and create the structure. Not consistently reevaluating pricing, roles, brand offerings. How this impacts the team and the business. And I'll just give you a quick answer to that. You know, pricing specifically and your brand offerings, et cetera, they affect how you generate, you know, revenue in your business, generate, you know, an income in your business. So if you don't have a pricing structure that supports the compensation for your team, you're not running your business effectively. So if you're trying to, you know, kind of, you know, sell stuff, you know, at a low price, but you can't afford to pay your employees, I mean, where's the win there, right? Or having to do, you know, double the work to be able to pay your team. So the more effective thing, I remember, you know, coaching, you know, someone, you know, and just saying, hey, you know, you have two teams doing the work of one team and you're paying two teams. That's not a good business decision, right? And so it's important for you to understand, you know, the productivity of your team, the output of your team, and then the compensation. So it's important to know these key factors. So, oh, and another one is not having a plan for rewarding high performers. I think it's important to have some type of reward system in place for your team. And then the second thing is changing the rules or processes and not informing the team. This is huge. And I know for me, I'm not a stickler for rules and all that kind of stuff. I'm very much not that person. But if there are rules or guidelines that are put in place for an organization, right? You can't go changing them in the middle, or you can't go changing them, you know, halfway through, right? Or, you know, saying whatever, you know, your heart, you know, wants to say, you know, on a particular day, because it impacts, it negatively impacts the team, and it negatively impacts the customer, because as an organization, there should be single messaging, only one message. And it starts from the leader on down. So the team, you know, is essentially following the messaging of the leader. And so if the leader changes but didn't inform the team, now the team is communicating the last message that they received from the leader. And so if now the leader has changed their mind and the team is still communicating the old messaging, now there is a disconnect, and the first person who will see the disconnect is the customer. And then that, in turn, you lose the integrity of your organization, or you lose the integrity of your branding or messaging, marketing, whatever the case may be. So just making sure that you are, you know, communicating. So I pray this was helpful and helps you get started building high performance teams. If you need help creating the structure for your business, head to my website and book a one-on-one consult at www.halimadelivera.com/consultation. I'll help you get started. My inspirational quote of the week: It's actually an Islamic concept rather than a quote. Islam encourages us to work together by focusing on individual strong points rather than pointing out the weak. Every team should have one of the following in order to be successful: the caretaker, the completer, the catalyst, the creative person, the explorer, the judge, the organizer. The importance of implementing team structure are written with more supporting evidences from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the Muslims as ummah. Therefore, we understand that ummah is a team. To make our Islamic society a better place, we have to work together. Building a team will be the most priority when talking about teamwork. As the hadith says, the hand of Allah is with the team, jama'ah. Then whoever singles himself out from the jama'ah will be singled out from the hellfire, al-Tirmidhi. You are the best community, ummah, raised up for the benefit of humanity, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong and believing in God. Quran, Surah 3, verse 110. Which can take both the concept, the hadith, and the ayah to help us create the foundations for our teams with our businesses and our community. Again, I pray this was a benefit. I'll talk to you all next week. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
This has been another spectacular episode of Boss Hijabipreneur, brought to you by BUNHD LLC and the Not Without My Hijab stage play. To find out more about services for women of faith in business and the next city up on the tour, visit www.bunhd.com. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each episode, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global communities.